Should people be building their businesses around Google?
All right, it's time for another episode of Grow the Dream. Today,
Cats and Bacon.
Buffer Craters losing half of its social traffic in a year.
Ooh. Josh's Pinterest report.
And my struggle with other things. Sort of.
And the Google new algorithm, RankBrain. All that and more next.
Can't wait.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when, you know, when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it, quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father. Not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
Welcome to episode 39 of Grow the Dream Show.
Rats, I spoiled it.
Let's try it again. Hey, it's 39 of
Grow the Dream Show.
All right. We had a little, it's kind of an arpeggio.
Who was that? Well, it definitely came out. I was trying to go for the like, hey. And Grow the Dream Show. But I did. I keep like.
You do, hey. I'm thinking Fat Albert all the way.
Hey.
That's him.
Boom.
Fat Albert. Grow the dream today.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
It's Marketing Monday.
You know, like, okay, right. Yeah, I know. I can do that for about a minute, and then I can't talk anymore.
All right. We're drinking some brew.
Yep, I need some now. My throat.
Ah, it's a good day.
Yeah, I don't know how Cosby pulled that off.
Are we even supposed to talk about Bill Cosby?
I was going
to
say there are lots of people like, asking that question today. Anyway,
boom. Yeah.
No, that
moving right on.
I was referring to Fat Albert. Okay, I was not referring to the other stuff.
There's so many issues that you allude to that just go right over my head because I don't care.
Oh, I thought it was because you didn't know.
Well, no, I don't know because I don't care. I don't care to know. Does that make sense?
Sure, it does.
Okay, we don't have to get down that.
I'm just in shock. You don't know about Bill Cosby and.
I mean, I don't know about the latest. I'm not up on it.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'm not either.
I heard.
The only latest that
sad.
Ever comes up is more women. That's just the latest. There's always more women coming forward, so that's just awful.
Well, and he's being sued now by a professional, like one of the ones that does this. Like, this is her shtick, right?
Right.
Gloria Steinem.
I don't know.
Steinem?
I've always liked the word shtick.
Gloria Steinem. Well, now she's a very famous feminist who...
I'd like to use the word shtick like more often.
Well, you've used it a couple times now.
I know. It's so fun.
It is. So, how was everybody's week? Last week? Because it's November.
Oh, November.
Is anybody doing anything for Movember? You've already grown.
I got a head start.
But wait, doesn't it not count if you got a head start? Like, aren't you supposed to shave at the beginning of the month and then, like, quit?
Mm.
Isn't that maybe?
That's true. Your beard is longer.
Probably. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
We did point this out a couple episodes ago.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
Yes.
Was I here for that?
Apparently not.
Apparently not. Yes.
Yeah.
Your body was in the chair.
Generally, yeah. I'm here 90% of the time I'm here, but there's about 10% when I'm here and I'm not here.
I know how it goes.
So, you know when you should be having a good week? Like all the signs are like,
oh,
hey,
yeah. You got to watch for those, man.
You're doing good. No. Be quiet.
And okay, then, like, but it's a podcast.
By the end of the week, you're like, for some reason, you're just not feeling it anymore.
Is that your week?
Yeah.
Well, it's a brand new week because it's Marketing Monday, so...
I know, but I'm talking about last week.
Right.
The week that we were recording this. So
we're doing
now,
the week in review.
It's very fresh. Can I be bipolar on air?
Sure.
Can I be the startup guy who has his ups and downs?
Well, that's fair. Right. Absolutely. I mean, every entrepreneur has those days.
Oh, yeah.
Or weeks or months or years.
Right.
We got to be genuine.
However it might be.
Is the title of this episode going to be The Struggle? Are we going to go down this?
The struggle is real. Hashtag.
The struggle is real. I read a post on SitePoint about that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It was okay.
Okay.
It's one of those things you
brought
get out
it up.
There and you're like, this is negative. Like, I'm being negative, but I want to be real. But then, like, it, you know, didn't get tons of reaction or comments or shares. And so you're like, well.
Well, because nobody wants to. Well, it depends. Sometimes people cross the line of authenticity and they go so real that everybody can really identify. And right. then it gets shared.
That sort of real, I think. So, like, that's I wasn't negative enough.
Well, did you write it?
Wait, yes.
Oh, you wrote it.
I wrote it, yeah.
I heard you say, I'm sorry, I thought I heard you say that you read a post on SitePoint.
Oh, no, I wrote a post on SitePoint.
Oh, you wrote a post on SitePoint. Well, I didn't see it.
The Struggle is Real, the Story Behind the Pitch podcast, maybe. Or maybe it's just the Story Behind the Pitch. I don't know.
You know what? I saw the headline. Mm. I did see the headline, and I assumed it would do well, and I apologize. I didn't read it. So had you tweeted me about it or something, I might have actually read it. I don't know where I saw it. Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I did not see the headline. I did not read the story.
Yeah. Well, you had a busy week.
Nobody
did. I did.
This was not this week, guys. This was a couple weeks back.
Oh. That's even worse.
Yeah. I don't know. This you're being tripolar great. Now, I think.
Oh, no. I'm not. No, it's not that one.
Hey, well, if you're feeling down, I have news for you that you're not alone. I don't know if you guys saw this last week. But
call our support line.
don't call her. Don't. We don't have a hotline. We should give him Jonah Peretti's rejection line. That was funny.
Is this the there's always somebody worse than you?
No. This is actually talking about authenticity. I was really kind of shocked by this one. Buffer announced last week. Did you see this?
Mm-hmm.
That they've lost nearly half of their social referral traffic over the last 12 months.
I thought he was refreshingly honest. I read his post on that.
Wow.
He was really honest about it.
Okay,
and straightforward and questioning why and not being able to figure out why. And like he was scratching his head in public saying, what the heck is going on here? And we're supposed to be really good at this.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, they have everybody follows them because like these guys know what they're doing on social media.
Right.
So if I wonder if everybody's lost half their traffic.
That was one of his questions.
Well, yeah, he was openly wondering the same thing, but he basically said, and here's how it opens.
Hey, let's talk about
this.
This
is a little tough to admit, and then in bold print, I've been failing at social media marketing.
Did he lose his job the next week? Yeah,
I don't know.
One of the investors reads this. You guys suck. You're fired.
Hey, now,
is this a well-shared post?
It's well shared. There are 321 comments on their blog, which is that's big for their blog. But here's what I want to point out, just in reference to last week's show, that there are five paragraphs and then a slide share.
Right.
And the slide share is this content. We've lost nearly half our social referral traffic in the last 12 months. And he breaks it down into one slide, one bullet point at a time on each slide. So Josh, and a lot of it is the same stuff that's in here. So like they talk about their, he's got their Google Analytics like screenshotted.
Yeah.
And referral traffic from social, 45% down number of sessions, right? But then he breaks it down more specifically. Right. Twitter's down 43%, which that's not good.
No.
You would expect Google Plus to be down 72%. Okay, that's okay. I mean, you're all good there. LinkedIn down 45%, Facebook down 53%.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, I was wondering, is part of this possibly just because of the shift in the social media companies to try and force more promotion and less organic?
Well,
drive people to advertise.
The most salient point that he made was to me,
I don't think so,
was that they changed their content strategy on their blog.
Buffer did.
They did. They stopped writing these super long posts, and I forget how he referred to it. I'm gonna see if I can find it in the story
evergreen
itself.
Okay.
Yeah, like some of the stuff that they wrote was, I mean, really, really big content on their blog, and they did stop doing that so much.
Well, and we've talked about that before, that is the stuff that can really work, you know, like really up to 3,000 words even.
Right, but I think in our experience, in my own experience anyway, we found that tends to do well for search traffic. It's not, to me, as much a social play, although I guess, depending on your headlines and stuff, it could be.
It could be.
Sure, it could be.
You know, but
still need a great headline.
More of a long-term
right
play.
Yeah, anyway. You do need great headlines.
So there's no There's no completion to this thought, is there?
He wonders out loud. I mean, he considers the imposter syndrome. he's like, maybe I'm no good at this.
Basically, yeah, he starts a conversation is what he does.
Maybe our sharing ratio is off, too much content, not enough conversation. Maybe everyone else is failing too. And then he says in parentheses, I sure hope not. Maybe we need to post more often. Maybe we need to post less often. Maybe. He's talking about the whole spiral. So he kind of was airing his, like you said, his head scratching.
This is great.
So I guess, I don't know. I have to go back and look. In some ways, I think most of the stuff that we're working on, social traffic is actually up. But we were not Buffer either.
Buffer's like, not using Narrow. Sorry.
No. I'm not even talking about the last few weeks because I haven't gotten traffic from Narrow.
All right. So
to
what,
speak of
one of my big takeaways from looking at this here is looking at where he has the chart about the economics of content. Before he says. Mark Schaefer of the Grow Blog has called this content the idea that we've passed the point where content consumption has peaked, but content creation continues taking off. So basically, you have a supply and demand problem here.
Mm-hmm.
And you have content creation is still exploding, but you can only consume so much. So basically, you have a pie that's getting, bigger? I'm not sure how to do the pie analogy here. I just got lost in my pie analogy, or metaphor in this case. But the point being that
you have a bigger pie than ever.
But
content is the pie.
Your demand is capped, but your supply keeps going.
There's only so many forks.
And so therefore, you're getting a smaller and smaller share of things.
No, the pie has stayed the same size.
I think that's
the slices in the pie. Continues to increase.
If the pie is total content universe and there's number, it's too hard, too difficult.
Pi r squared.
Depends on
that's
how you
all
look
I know.
At the pie.
Let's drop both PIE and PI this conversation.
I haven't had enough Wicked Joes for this analogy.
No, but, all right, but
I think we all know what you mean.
So the big picture there is that there's just way too much content.
That's depressing.
And everybody's could be. I think there's a way to look at it. But I think quality content, and I know that I'm a broken record on this, but I think quality content will always stand out because there's only so many, only so much time, only so many people that can really create really good content. And if everybody is trying to create content, there's going to be a lot of poor content out there.
I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
The words make sense.
Okay.
But when Buffer is having trouble.
Right.
They do a good job on their content. Everybody knows they do. I mean, they're considered like well-known. I don't think we can say that they aren't. They're publishing quality stuff.
Well,
and if
they did change. So if they changed their strategy to shorter form, maybe they lost some quality in their content.
Well,
or perceived quality.
I don't know. We're putting a bunch of doubt in our listeners' minds, which they probably don't appreciate. But
well, like I said, I mean, our stuff
we're just being real.
Our stuff is going the other way. But again, I didn't start from where Buffer started from. And I think that's your point, Josh, their reputation was so big. And interestingly enough, excuse me for, I don't know what I'm doing now, slurring my words. We're using Buffer more than ever, you know, the actual app. We're using the app more than ever. And I really like it. Like we actually upgraded to the business account recently.
Okay.
And we're using it because of the group scheduling. I had been trying to make Hootsuite work for that. And I don't know. Hootsuite, I feel like, has lots of potential, but I just get lost in the user interface.
Yeah, the group scheduling is really difficult on Hootsuite. Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we have teams, and we put teams together, and we assign the social channels to the teams. And like once I set all of that up, I never had the stomach to go back in and really, you know, like I did some assignments and did some, I don't know, I just didn't. So Buffer is, here's the main reason that we did Buffer, because we can use Start a Fire with it. Remember Start a Fire you told us about? So we loaded some content up into there and connected Buffer to it. And so it automatically gets in between Buffer's short URLs and your content.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty slick. So, and what it does, for if you didn't hear that episode, Start a Fire allows you to make sure that your own content pops up in a little kind of a modal lower right-hand corner pop-up when people click on links that you share from your account.
Yeah.
So you can feed it a few of your best blog posts, for example. Or
somebody else's blog posts.
That's what it
features your...
And then no matter whose content you share... Your stuff gets, you know, visibility out of it. So it's a really smart tool.
So one of the things at the end here, a couple of things that they say, that I think that our listeners can take away as tips from this so that they're not just depressed as Josh is fearing, is that make the content the easy to share. But also, the second one is design beautiful, shareable visuals. And
yeah.
The visuals are really important. You still have to have the quality content with it over time, but you have to have a nice visual with things.
Doesn't Buffer do that? Buffer is like the king of visuals with like Pablo and stuff.
And you know, I don't think there's any reference to Pablo in this whole post.
There is Canva.
Yeah, well, Canva is kicking their butt. Uh-huh. I mean, in terms of use.
Compared to Pablo? Well, yeah. Well, Canva is much more robust. Pablo's a very small kind of use case, just for quotes.
Yeah, I haven't gotten hardly any use out of Pablo at all. Canva, I feel like some of my non-graphic team could use, you know, because even my own team doesn't watch my training videos on how to prepare social media graphics. Like, they're, you know, like it's just, you know, the ones that are non-visually. Like, right. We have graphic people who do great, and they're Photoshop users. So
are you, you know. Are you trying to segue into Pinterest here with this visual thing?
Ooh, that's just what I was doing.
Was it?
How did you know?
So Josh,
and I like cut it short. I was like, Buffer probably does this just fine.
How did Pinterest go for you?
Well, I pinned a few things.
Okay, that's a good start.
Yeah, it is.
That means you created an account.
Yeah, well, we are starting from the bare bones beginning. My past company had a Pinterest account.
Okay,
but you know, I had to pass it along
when you sold the business.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't have a Pinterest account.
So then I had to go create a new Pinterest account, and it's very empty. And I thought, okay, so I started reading about these strategies, learning what I can do next, but I realized, like, if somebody checks out what I'm doing and I'm like reaching out and saying, hey, I want to, well, I'll tell you more about the strategy here in a second, but they're going to look at your stuff and be like, you're not on Pinterest. You're not serious about this. So I was like, oh, I got to start pinning.
Okay, Josh.
I got to have a collection of stuff first.
You now have a follower.
Yay!
I just followed you on Pinterest.
And so you know that I had zero before that.
Well, I wasn't going to point that out. I just said you now have a follower. So I'm.
Oh, it's, yeah.
Okay, well, hey, we've all been there. You start a new social network, and I always recommend the lurk strategy, like lurk before you leap, you know? So it's a good idea to start a new new account and then just, you know, look around.
Yeah.
So what about Lisa? Is she a Pinterest user?
Yeah, I'm going to force her to repin all my stuff.
Whoa, how's that going to work? Like, tie her down, just borrow her phone. Hey, let me borrow your phone.
Okay, I'm not going to, like, force her. I'm just going to ask.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I was just trying to clarify. Because Jill is, we call her the Pinterest queen on our team.
Oh, nice.
She, I mean, I don't know what Lisa does. I haven't looked. But Jill is, I mean, for somebody who just, you know, goofs off on Pinterest, which she does, she's got like 1,600 followers.
Good for her.
And she'll get that many repins on something.
Right.
I mean, she'll post, especially if it's a cat. Which I don't know how we did this, but last week we talked about National Day Calendar. We looked at all sorts of stuff. We talked about fried clams. We failed to mention
Cat Day
was coming up
product
before our next episode.
Yeah.
And I mean, seriously, Cat Day is like the internet's biggest holiday.
Oh, it is. Gosh, yeah.
Yeah, I have a cat, great mouser. I love the cat, so that's terrific. But I do not get the cat meme love fest throughout the internet.
Well,
I mean, how many times can you show a cute kitten before you've had enough?
Don't offend our listeners that love kittens.
Dude, I'm sorry, but cats are the thing for internet peeps.
Yeah.
It's just it.
And internet peeps listen to podcasts. So.
And bacon.
Bro.
Which okay, is now why, bacon I get. Totally get bacon. Why,
see? Okay, all right. So there is, to a certain degree, a gender-related thing here. Okay, just to a certain degree.
Well, that's when we went to Pinterest, we went to
so
gender-related.
So I should go make a pin with bacon and
cats. Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
See, that's what a bad theory would tell you
even,
to do.
No, no, no. Even more specifically,
like
you
it.
Should create a startup related to bacon and cats.
Right. You just call it
maybe
baconandcats.com.
Maybe a podcast. Maybe we should rename our show the Bacon and Cat Show.
We could certainly market it easier.
we would get a lot of repins. That's part of what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
I'm
sorry. I just wanted to know if Josh actually had a strategy.
Baconandcats.com appears to be available.
Well, somebody should get it.
Do something creative with it. I don't have enough time for another thing. Well, actually,
if it's really available,
we always do have time for another thing.
It is really available. Like, it's not just
you don't tell David about domain that's available because he's just going to snap it up.
I have to go
Put it in the suitcase of domains that he has and doesn't use.
Is it really worth $10 a year to have baconandcast.com?
Yes. Oh, no. Absolutely.
See, all you have to do is it's just another $10 a year. That's a very small percentage.
It's another $10. Yes. That's right. It's
such a great point. Are you really going to buy this right now?
How is that not available?
He's probably got it already.
How is that not even registered yet? So, I mean, fair. Just giving you a fair shake, Josh. Do you want it? Because if you want it, I'll let you have it. But you
no, bro. You can have it.
Okay.
You know more about internet memes than I do. What the heck?
Bacon and cats.
This is for real, guys. We're not actually.
No, really. Should it be bacon first, or should it be catsandbacon.com?
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. Let me finish the checkout.
Buy them both. I knew I'd sold both of them there.
Let me finish the checkout process and I'll find out.
I don't know how you're making any money off of this.
I know. I wish I knew how to. If there was a way for me to make money off of David buying domain names,
no,
I would
it needs to
be rich.
Like dot cats. It needs to be like bacon.cats.com or cats.bacon.
No... Oh, well, we could do that. Well, but we'd have to have bacon.com or cats.com. I mean, there's no. Now, catsandbacon.com is taken.
I don't think you understood it.
Is there a dot cat domain?
Bats and bacon. Catsandbacon.com?
Catsandbacon.com is taken. There's no site on it. It's just a...
Oh, yeah.
Are we really going down this?
Well, we've already gone down it. We're down the road.
Pinterest.
There we go.
Do you guys want to go back to Pinterest?
Let's go back to Pinterest. Let's
find
out.
Okay, so, you know, like, this is what I'm going to try out.
This is how we got sidetracked before.
This guy, Bob Lotick. So apparently he had this blog. He was doing good. You know, he's one of those bloggers out there. It's like, hey, I'm making money online, guys. Check me out. So then...
Did he have a picture of his Lambo with a...
No. About 75% drop in my primary source traffic in about half a year, which his primary source traffic was Google Organic. October of 2013. Wow. That corresponds with when the drop in my traffic... October 2000 for iHeart Repair.
That's right.
So go back and listen to that.
We have
that's one of our first ones.
We have a Google algorithm thing to talk about today. So let's come back to that.
Okay.
But yeah, that was what? Which one was that? Was that Hummingbird? Or was that the no? That was the domain name thing.
Yeah, but I guess
the jury's still out.
Purportedly, that had happened a year prior.
Okay.
But it didn't hit my site till 2013. Anyway, similar to when this guy did. So he, in October 2013, he begins his quest for another traffic source because he didn't want to go back to being a cubicle monkey.
Okay.
No offense to
I was gonna
any
say,
cubicle
way to,
monkeys out there.
Exactly. Way to not offend our listeners in any way.
I didn't. He said it. Just reading it. I began with Facebook and decided to dive in, see if I could make this work. So he tried Facebook and... He figured he was only getting 835 visits a month, so he assumed there was nowhere to go but up. He got up to 21,000 visits a month because of Facebook.
21,000, that's not
so
bad.
So that's pretty good, but I mean, if you're a blogger...
And it's just a blog,
make
so he's
money,
not... He's not like... It's not a real... It's not. I'm sorry. It's not a business that he's promoting. It's not a blog related to a business.
I don't even actually know what the...
Okay,
I mean,
right,
it could be efficientblogging.com. But I doubt that it's a blog about, well, it could be another one of those blogs about, it's like the, never mind.
Yeah, like how I made my millions.
Yes, I'm going to make millions by telling other people how to make millions, even though I've never actually made a million without teaching someone how to make millions. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, completely.
It's like multi-level marketing kind of.
Yeah, but I'll share my whole story online if you could just follow it and watch as my traffic and my revenue goes up.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. So he goes to Pinterest. He decides to do this Pinterest strategy. And he absolutely kills it.
Okay.
500K a month.
I now own baconandcats.com. Sorry. I bought it.
Sorry. It took a little longer than I thought it would.
Yeah. Okay. It because I had a struggle. I had to go look up the other one before I checked out. I was like, well, I might as well just have one checkout. Okay.
Josh is having an aneurysm over here.
So he got Pinterest traffic. Sorry, Josh.
I just think it's hilarious. This is great. Okay. So...
Domain. No offense to people who've had aneurysms, by
domain
the way.
Domain sweater. What the heck? Rod! I'm actually getting irritated at Rod right now.
There's a first.
Shut up.
Okay. See, I told you, you just had to work harder.
Oh my gosh. All right.
Completely.
Pinterest.
Pinterest. All right.
Obviously, it must be pretty. He goes through his steps. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's got to be pretty. Use Canva. Okay.
Well, that might explain why my wife gets a lot more results on Pinterest than I do.
Because it's got to be pretty?
Yeah, it's got to be pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a strategy for Pinterest.
Okay.
Selfies all day long.
I don't know if Lisa would approve because your female fan following would go way up.
Completely depends on what you look like.
Oh, I'll just do the beard. They've got like, you know, the beard thing. Of course,
well, Josh is the good looking one of the bunch.
Well, Josh is young and good looking.
I don't know if my beard is epic enough to like.
Well, yeah, you need another 6 inches on that beard for it to be like.
Yeah, that's not epic.
Assuming you don't have a beard, here's what you do. A group board. Pinterest group boards.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Okay, so this is his secret, you know.
Because you invite other people to pin to your board, and then they share stuff a lot more from the board. Or, well, yeah, or you get yourself invited to it. Yeah.
So what he's saying, and this takes work. Like, you don't just, like, he's saying there's this place that you go to. Let me find it right here. Pingroupie.com. Pin groupie. Aha, got a new one.
I haven't heard of that one, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
But I'm not a groupie, so.
Go to pingroupie.com. You search for related groupies. Pin groupies.
Oh, it's the Pinterest group board directory.
Yes, and then you find one in your niche.
Okay.
And you join, or you ask to join. And he said most of the time you have to actually cold email him as a process to ask to get a
Holy
to get in.
Cow. Hey, I did not know about this one. This is actually quite interesting. So like the top group right now, I don't know how this is ranked.
Cats and bacon. Cats and bacon group.
Gastromania?
Gastromamia.
Mamia. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so right. Moms and food. I'm sorry,
that,
but this
I don't
is
like that word.
Yeah, gastromamia. 220 no. I'm sorry. 2.2 million pins, 20,000 collaborators, 61,000 okay. followers.
Look at all the top ones. Gastromamia, homemade food recipes, yummy recipes, food, drink, delicious, cooked foodist, mouthwatering recipes, food, drink, there's a trend going on here.
It's really all food, isn't it? I mean, there's not anything. Wait a minute.
Okay, that's the most popular one. So there's a category. You can look at categories.
You can, but I mean, all of these are there except for support small businesses pin exchange right there in the middle. They're about... Oh, and there's a share your very best. And there's a women's fashion. Sorry. So there are, out of the top, how many are on this page?
Okay, there's 87,000 boards.
Right, but there are 30.
Showing one through 30.
There are 30 on page one, and they all are food and drink except for two women's fashion, a couple of others, and one products.
Okay.
That's like food and drink is it.
Wow.
That's where it's at, apparently.
Okay, you can search in the title and the description for stuff.
Yeah, okay, that's cool.
So I haven't tried this strategy yet. I haven't gotten that far.
What's the strategy beyond creating a group first. Or joining a group? What's the next step?
You reach out. I mean, this guy's part of 100 group boards that he can contribute his pins to every day.
Okay, and remind us, what was his traffic? Like he went from, he was getting some Facebook traffic, but
he's
not
getting
enough.
Like 830 something a month. Then he did Facebook and he got up to 20K a month. But like he started, this is interesting, like he started several years before and was up to like 300-500K a month on Google organic traffic.
But his organic traffic,
so he's still trying to get. So to him, the 21K in Facebook traffic that he was getting a month, others may be happy with it. He wasn't.
Yeah, it's still.
If he was making money off of ads or anything like that, he was not, you know, covering expenses.
Just a fraction.
Sure. What was the question you asked? What am I answering?
Where did his traffic get after he started pinning?
Oh, like 500K a month. Right.
Oh, he got back up to his 500K.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
So, but to me, this strategy sounds very similar. It's the oldest old school is just networking with people networking. And then message boards, participating on other people's message boards. And then in the social media realm, you participate with others. The more you interact and grouping with others, the more you're likely to expand your network and all. And so it's sort of applying that general concept to Pinterest.
Yeah. It's so interesting, though, because I feel like my industry and what I'm in, like, information is the product with the pitch and with startups. And so, but like so many of these things, it'd be so cool if I had some really unique product that I can, you know, do some lifestyle, like, you know, take a picture of my product on the me and my product, or some beautiful person in my product, you know, on the Empire State Building looking out over the city or something like that. You know, that kind
of
like
your product's
lifestyle.
Not really photogenic though.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying like a physical product.
Just right. That's what I'm saying.
So many of these things, they can lend itself to that.
Right. And, I mean,
but an information product doesn't so much.
Not
right?
so much.
Yeah.
Unless you have like someone with their podcasting app pulled up on their iPhone in the shot with the pitch clearly being, yeah. you're like, you know, that
get influencers.
This is what like I'm listening it. To. Yeah. yeah. With yeah. the with the buds in and they're, uh-huh. they just climbed Mount Everest, which apparently is how you're supposed to pronounce it.
Oh, what?
That was his name, Everest. Don't. So we're pronouncing it wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's all I know about the pins because I haven't done it experientially.
Okay.
So this is.
I can say.
Can I say that? I haven't done it experientially, Ron?
Well, it's a little redundant, but it's okay. Doing it is
not
experiential.
Only that, but it's a little repetitive, too. So, what I was going to say is the group board thing is really that does really work. I mean, if you can join the group boards and you get a lot of you know interest and activity,
but it takes time.
It does take time, but what I was not aware of was this search tool, pingroupie.com. This is pretty slick. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Mm, you can call me Mr. Okay, so Josh's tool of the week.
I have all right. On topic here, so I still have my Mac mail on my laptop here. So when I get emails, it gives me the little notice up in the corner.
Great.
My wife just pinned something to our group.
Oh, yes.
She and I have a private group, and she just pinned something to it while we're talking about this. Classic.
Is this group?
That is.
Now, is your group board about remodeling your house or upgrading your
this
house?
One, it's on a lot of topics, but we...
okay.
It's a lot of topics. Whatever she thinks...
If she needs him to pick up milk, she pins... She pins.
No, it's actually bottle. It's a lot of humorous stuff. Sometimes it's
fun.
Bible quotes. Sometimes it's practical stuff. Sometimes, you know, it's a whole mix
cool.
of things.
But it's just the two of you.
Yeah.
So we
she also has one with our daughters, just the three of them.
Yeah. See, Jill and I have several boards that we share, but they're
on different topics.
They're very specific. Yeah, right. Like one of them is like the love of learning. That's right. What she called it. One of them is we're planning this big trip to New York City. So
question: did she start all the boards and invite you?
No, I started some too. Actually, we share this. This is a shared thing. I'll tell you what
we share it too. She just started them.
She loves Pinterest a lot.
Right.
But what really got her to really get going with it was that I had a nerd humor board, geek humor.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up getting some of my pins pinned to a group board full of geeks. And I'll tell you, when I open Pinterest, it's loaded with Star Wars, Portal, like total geek stuff.
Right.
That's all I see for the most part, except when Jill is pinning cats and then I see cats. because I do follow her. But like for the most part, my feed is loaded up full of nerd stuff.
Right.
And I had, I don't know, a pin that had gotten maybe 150 or 180 mm-hmm. repins. And that was more than she'd ever gotten, and she got mad. So she
she got mad. That's
true
great.
Story. So she goes
that's
out.
That's not competitive at
and
all.
And so now when she gets like 1,500 repins on something, she shows it to me. She's like, hey, did you see this one?
That's hilarious.
So
that's pretty great.
And I'm like, how can I compete? Like, I'm backing off, man. I'm not going to pin cats or holiday decorations But so we have a few boards, but it's fun. So anyway, that's why I say I do know the power of the group boards.
Right.
And with Bible pins and with some of the other stuff, I mean, a lot of brands are generating an enormous amount of not just traffic, but actual converting traffic from Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
The Sephora, which is the cosmetics brand. They measured it and said their traffic from Pinterest converts 7 times better than their Facebook traffic.
Mm.
Or maybe it was the other way around. I'm sorry.
Wait, what?
They get 7 times the revenue from their Pinterest followers. So it wasn't the other way around. Sorry, but it was the wrong metric.
I just wandered into my 10% of the time when I'm here and not here.
Yeah.
So, but I was looking at the Pinterest because most of my time on Pinterest is if I'm sitting next to my wife on the couch.
Oh, right. looking at the iPhone over
the
shoulder.
iPad in this case.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And next to her because she will be scrolling. And it's, you know, it's pretty interesting actually. And I can get sucked right into it too.
Actually, the Pinterest looks great on iPad.
It does.
Well,
no, it does. But
Jill
has
a 6S Plus, so it might as well be an iPad.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it in 6S?
I did, yeah. Well, the Plus.
Good man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that's what you use.
Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, but, okay, well, never mind.
Anyway, yeah, but so I'm looking at mine, because I really don't, except, you know, when Kim sends me to our group and all, I get an email notice, and then I go look at it.
And so that's what causes you to go. Okay.
I am actually officially following one person, my wife.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
Wow. Yeah. Follow me.
But
you should
I'll
follow
post
Josh.
Stuff you're interested in.
Yeah.
I will I don't know how many cats I will post.
I don't know why, but I'm looking at my boards here, and one of them has a big picture of a cat with the word no, and it's got one of those cat faces where it's frowny and stuff.
It's Grumpy Cat.
Grumpy Cat.
That's Grumpy Cat.
No, and that made me laugh.
Grumpy Cat is a meme that makes everybody laugh. That's part of the reason why, you know.
Part of it was laughing at the irony of the moment, but
of course, right. Okay, so
I'm going to make my picture, my profile picture, me with a kitten next to my face
eating bacon.
Eating bacon.
Yeah.
All right, so tell me about your profile video on Facebook. Have you done the video yet?
No, I don't have anything creative to do for the video.
Oh, well, this is it. Now you can have a kitten eating bacon, and you can have, like, the profile video.
Oh,
you
can't. And I can use Boomerang to loop it, so I'm, like, endlessly taking bites.
There you go.
Especially if you can convince the kitten to watch you, like, with a head movement and looking back and forth as the bacon moves.
Perfect. If I don't do it, one of our listeners is going to do it.
That's right. And it'll get shared a lot.
I don't have a cat.
I feel like there's a Photoshop GIF coming up, even if
I have a cat.
The video doesn't work.
No, I don't want a cat. I want a kitten.
No, I don't.
I don't like cats. I like kittens. They're just so cute.
You know they grow up, right?
No. I want to borrow a kitten for 5 minutes.
That cat meme thing. Those are all kittens. I mean, like, almost all kittens.
Well, Grumpy Cat is definitely not a kitten.
You can't. Yeah. You can't get a Grumpy Cat picture out of a kitty.
This is great. It's so eclectic.
No.
Okay.
Although I think he looked that way when he was a kid.
Do you guys have something productive? Because I have something not productive.
Actually, I think.
Wasn't exactly sure if we'd been productive here or not so far.
All right. Well, yeah.
No, but I noticed that you're enjoying yourself, Rod, in the unproductiveness. No.
Oh, in the unproductiveness.
Sometimes you have a hard time with the unproductiveness.
Yeah.
So here's something productive. Google is now using artificial intelligence to drive the search engine rankings.
Ah.
This is RankBrain. Did you guys hear
about this? Hold on a second. It's not artificial intelligence once it's figured out. I learned this from a guy who actually.
No, it's machine learning.
It's considered machine
AI.
Learning but they afterwards.
It's a combo?
Once you figure it out, once it's built, it's just programming.
Machine learning. Do I have this right? Machine learning is where basically, you know, a program can learn how to do something. And AI is where it mimics the human brain.
So, interestingly enough, this article on RankBrain covers this in detail, and it's written. Let me mention this.
Can we pontificate more here? Yeah.
Wait. It's written by Danny Sullivan, who I am happy to report will be joining us next week on Grow the Dream Show. So, Danny Sullivan is one of the founders of Search Engine Land, and this is where the article. I mean, you got to love this guy because he's the guy who's usually first to publish the story on one of these kinds of deals. But according to him, RankBrain is Google's name for a machine learning artificial intelligence system that's used to help process its search results. I just thought it was ironic because we were just debating.
So that's the whole thing. So there's combining the two.
So he says machine learning is where a computer teaches itself how to do something rather than being taught by humans or following programming.
Right.
Artificial intelligence or AI is where a computer can be as smart as a human being.
So that's like mimicking a brain.
Well, that's like the Turing test, right? The classic Turing test for AI is if you can fool a group of people into thinking that they're communicating with a human instead of with a machine. That's Alan Turing developed that. And that was his test for whether it's really artificial intelligence or not. So in that sense, it has to, according to this, at least in the sense of acquiring knowledge both from being taught and from building on what it knows and making new connections. So today, as he points out, true AI really only exists in science fiction novels.
Right.
But we use
Isaac Asimov.
Right.
Right.
iRobot.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yep.
But AI is still the term that gets tossed around for this stuff, even though it's not really truly AI.
Right.
At some point, though, you know, Skynet will become self-aware and the singularity occurs.
I kind of feel like that takes an entirely different type of technology than we have today. I don't think it's just along a continuum on the current line of technology. It takes a whole different line.
I think we still haven't got enough understanding of how the human brain works.
We don't have a fraction of it.
Not a clue. Okay. No. So Hummingbird is still sort of the latest iteration of the algorithm. But they're now introducing what they call RankBrain, which is apparently just being integrated into Hummingbird. And it doesn't apparently doesn't affect every...
Rake Brain is the combo that we're talking about here, the machine learning AI thing.
Yeah, it's the new thing that they've announced.
So, if I do air quotes around AI, does that work on a podcast?
Sure, no. As long as you tell us about it. Yeah, because this is not a video podcast, so no one can see it. But anyway, it's kind of an interesting deal. And Google is still trying to do what they can to improve the quality of search results.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I mean,
they'll always be doing that.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah, I mean, they need to, or somebody will build a better mousetrap.
Right.
But apparently it won't be Yahoo.
Yeah, really.
Anyway.
So what they're saying, and this is the big news, right? The big news is that Rank Brain is now the third most important ranking signal that is integrated into how Google decides what's going to be shown in search results.
Okay, what does Rank Brain do?
Well, if they won't tell us.
They're just saying, we're awesome.
Wait, Google's being secretive? Really?
No.
That's shocking.
It's
facetious quotes.
Here's what they're saying. Now, Danny said he emailed back and forth with Google. And here's what he said. I'll just read what he said. From emailing with Google, I gather Rank Brain is mainly used as a way to interpret the searches that people submit to find pages that might not have the exact words that were searched for. So whereas Google's...
I thought it did that now.
In a very limited basis. Like, so they could map a certain word, a term that you might use to its synonyms.
Right.
And try to show you...
Which is okay. So that's what they're doing now, because that's what
But this is a different. This is about user
intent.
This
isn't that. Okay.
Yeah, this is about trying to understand more about user intent. So, and he points this out. Like Google got synonym smarts. So if you search for sneakers, it might also understand that you meant running shoes and so forth, right? But that's not what this is. This is a way to understand you better and understand based on what you type in.
Specifically?
Well, I don't know about that, but like what you...
That would be the spooky thing.
You meaning ultimately, yes. I mean, but whether that's here yet or not, it's not clear.
Okay.
You know, this is a black box to a certain extent.
Right.
But they're trying to... Here's an example. Okay, so there was a Bloomberg article which he references, and they gave this example. What is the title of the consumer at the highest level of a food chain? All right, now that would be a hard search to interpret, right? What is the title of the consumer at the highest level of a food chain? From a very scientific standpoint, we know that the food chain represents, you know, what animals prey on others, but in everyday language, we don't think of that as a consumer. Right, a consumer is somebody who buys stuff.
Sounds like the answer is human.
Yeah, right.
But
what is that called?
Right.
So the title is predator.
Oh, okay.
Right. So what is the title of the consumer at the highest level of a food chain? So entering that query into Google provides good answers, even though the query itself sounds pretty odd. So they show an example of the search results, and now consider how similar the results are for a search like top level of the food chain, as shown below. So what this one did was food chain gloss. The first one showed like food chain glossary, the Wikipedia article for consumer with the word food chain in parentheses. So it's, you know, it's trying to show you a relevant result. Whereas parentheses. But the second example, top level of food chain, shows apex predator, the Wikipedia article, as the first result. So here's what he's saying. Imagine that Rank Brain is connecting that original long and complicated query to this much shorter one. In other words, when you just search for top level of the food chain, you got much more relevant results than you did with that first long query. And so it understands that they're similar. As a result, Google can leverage all it knows about getting answers for the more common query to help improve what it provides for the uncommon one. So
basically, it's just dropping out some of the not very helpful, less used parts of the query.
Yeah, it's trying to reinterpret.
But it's using the exact same words. That's not much of a reinterpretation. A top level. It's adding top level.
Yeah, it's...
No, it's adding just top.
It's...
Sorry.
But it's a different... It's a different search.
Like, I'm having a hard time seeing the major difference here.
If you ran the search on Bing, right?
I thought of Yahoo. I didn't even think of Bing.
You would probably, I don't know, I'm just guessing, but you'd probably get results for consumer foods. Okay, like, you know,
yeah.
You know, and what chains sell most foods to consumers? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, in other words,
food yeah. chain, good one. Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? It's a reinterpretation based on what you mean rather than what you say, I think is the point. And sure, some of the same terminology shows up, and it's probably not the best example. I don't know why, who came up with this example.
Okay, so bottom line.
Bottom line is we still don't really know, but we will have Danny Sullivan here next week, and we can ask him.
I have some real questions about this that he can probably answer.
Danny boy.
Okay, I guess we know what the theme
what the jingle is going to be. Yeah. It's going to be a very Irish day.
Apparently.
Okay.
Did you guys see the article by, was this Jason Calacanis? I think he wrote something about how Apple is slowly getting into the search game by making Spotlight more and more functional.
I didn't see that article, Macs but I have. iOS. Yeah, I think there's plenty of evidence that Apple is making a play in the search world.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Which is interesting because like they can be a serious contender and still have bad search results. Because they own the platform, they own the users, they own the...
Well, on a global scale, Google still owns the users because Android is far more widely adopted than iOS.
Okay.
Globally.
Okay.
But in the U.S.
Sure.
Which is where consumers are monsters compared to the rest of the world.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean,
I
haven't looked recently to see. But you're right. I mean, they're going to own a substantial percentage of the search data, especially this kind of data, like what we were just talking about with RankBrain. Why would Google even be trying to do this? I think mobile is the biggest driver because we talk to,
right.
You know, Siri or
so search
in my case,
are changing.
You know, I say, well, I won't say it because I don't want to set anybody's phone off, but I say, hey, Google, you know, which is not the phrase, but.
It's so kind of you not to set off all of our listeners' phones.
Or it's, hey, Siri.
Okay, so you're going to set off everybody's.
There you go. I just set mine off over on the chair there.
Hey Siri, will you marry me?
You're worthless.
Oh, look at what that screen is filling up, baby.
What does it say?
Which my end user agreement does not cover marriage.
Oh, that's great.
Okay,
she gives a different answer every time. I always ask her to marry me just to see what she's going to say.
Yeah.
You can ask her, though, what is the meaning? Hey Siri. Oh, you turned her off. Never mind. What's the answer to the...
She doesn't respond to his voice for some reason.
She only responds to mine, David.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Hey, Siri. Shoot.
Hey, Siri.
What's the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything? Wait. No. Watch what she said. Oh, she does different answers to that one, too.
Yeah. Well, I know the answer because I read
say,
the book.
She will say 42.
Well, of course. She's got to at some point. Yes,
she does.
I need to keep reading that book.
I was going to say, stop giving away the end of the book to Josh.
Well.
I already did that once. I thought maybe he forgot the number.
Where are they right now? Oh, they just got picked up by the spaceship.
That's kind of early on.
Like dumped out in the space and then picked up. Yes, it is early on.
Okay, anyway, so.
I have young children, not enough time to read.
We're going to have a special towel day episode in May, and that's all I have to say about it.
Okay. So I have a question.
Yeah.
Should people be building their businesses around Google?
Ooh.
My answer would have, I think my direct response to that is different than it was 5 years ago, for dang sure.
I haven't answered to that
it's
from my perspective.
Different than even 2 years ago.
Yeah. So what would you say? I mean, you're just coming off of a story where you're talking about a guy who, like you, in your previous business, lost a ton of Google traffic and suddenly was in a jam.
But then I went back to Google and paid them. So in the end, it's a good move for them. Take away traffic from me. I come back to Google and say, pay me for that. You know, or
so
I pay them for that.
Facebook.
Exactly. Yeah. Facebook all over again. Right.
Yeah. So. Which is irritating.
So what would you say to someone asking that question right now?
Well, something I've been pondering lately is the mentality of go where the users are and interact with them.
Instead of expecting them to come to you?
Yeah. But what I love about Google search
results...
It's like
creating a Pinterest group board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or joining one.
Yeah. Or joining one, better yet.
Yeah.
The idea being... As the internet, we were talking about content being created more and more and more. I wonder if there's going to be a point where it's and Google sets apart the best from the worst based on how big the brand is or how well perceived that brand is. At some point, hopefully they'll be able to measure engagement after somebody goes through a search result and be able to like pull out truly good content that's not from big brands. But I feel like so they still favor the brands.
I sort of think they're doing that already in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I think what you're saying about the brands is, are you saying because the brands still get a lot of link love and they get a lot of, you know...
Well, just in general, Google tends to favor the big brands.
Huh. I don't know if I agree with that, but you know, I guess I'd have to think about it some more. Like, because all of these algorithm changes in the last few years have done a lot to still... To do exactly what you said, which is to discover the quality. They are looking at user interactions, like how long did the user spend on the site.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have to look at the analytics data because they can tell when you clicked on the next search result. So they know when you came back to Google from the site how long Sure. you spent there. So that's been a ranking signal for quite some time.
Yeah. I think I've just become disenchanted with Google and getting results and things changing all the time, just like we've become disenchanted with Facebook because they keep changing
right.
the way.
Right. But now 5 years ago, you sort of got burned by them changing in your business there.
Yeah.
And so you said, but you're thinking about it dramatically differently now than you did then.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, how can we think about marketing in a sustainable way that's not dependent on any one channel? Because that is channel. I'm sorry. Because that is absolutely devastating.
Yes. No. That's an excellent philosophy to live by, I think, with your business.
Yeah.
And, you know, marketing.
I guess so. Facebook's kind of a Well. So what I just did, I've been kind of pondering this based on this theory of like go where the users are and interact with them there. So I went to top sites on Quantcast, which measures.
Sure.
I don't know how many it measures, if it measures the top million or whatever. Google's the number one.
Yeah.
So go there for users if you can. YouTube's the number two, which is interesting. Facebook's number three. And then MSN. MSN.com is the number four.
Right, because the default for everybody that uses Internet Explorer on Windows.
Yep.
Jesus.
Yep. That's exactly right. And that's the only reason.
And that's just so crazy. I mean, that there's that many people out there. Obviously,
won't change that.
It's a web portal, though. I mean, it's like what AOL used to be back in the day. You know,
sure.
When you signed in, hey, you've got mail, but you're at the portal.
Right.
That's what MSN is. I can't stand it.
Oh, the articles they feature on the front are just like so.
But it's like Yahoo all over.
But it was like worthless.
Yeah.
But it's like I don't know how the demographics work for that. But you know, my dad went, he just passed away a while ago. But he had a computer for. Excuse me, for a lot of years. But every time I went to the house there, it was still opening up. You open up Explorer and it went right to MSN.com. Yeah.
My parents are the same way.
Same. So
both of my parents, when you open their browsers, that's where it goes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so all of those are getting all the time. It's getting hits.
Ironically, they do that even though I've weaned them completely from Internet Explorer.
they still go to MSN.
They're like, oh, can you make the homepage in Chrome, you know, my MSN? I'm like, if you insist, who does that? I mean, like, what is wrong with you people? But yeah, they do. And I hope they're not listening to the show. But anyway, I mean, I hope they are listening to the show, but not this episode.
So, I mean, maybe what would be more valuable, obviously, is not who's number one right now, but who's like climbing these rankings and gaining users. Because I'd be more interested in saying, like, I'm assuming that the traffic that's using MSN.com in 30 years, a majority of them are going to.
Maybe less. Yeah.
Going to be off the planet there. But that's so crazy because, wait, isn't it like 80% of the population or some ridiculous number, like under 30 or something? Crazy?
Well, it depends on the country.
Yeah.
A lot.
I know. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah, it's not that. It's nowhere near that high in the West.
So, like, how is MSN? Whose kids are using MSN.com?
So, but Facebook is number three and Twitter's number five, interestingly enough.
Pinterest is 13. BuzzFeed is doing well. Amazon.com, Yelp.
You know what? The interesting thing about BuzzFeed to me is that they have adopted this philosophy really to a certain extent that you're talking about, Josh, which is...
Go where the users are.
We don't care if anyone ever comes to our website ever again. We are going to be the brand that finds them on Snapchat, on Instagram, on whatever platform it is.
And you will click on our bait.
And they win. They win. They absolutely win at that. And but their point, see, the thing that...
But sometimes there is no bait.
But you can't...
Like, the content lives there. There's no click through to their site, is what he's saying.
And that's my point, is that, is that BuzzFeed's business model doesn't count on advertising revenue in the same way that a lot of these other, you know, platforms do, because their whole business is built around, hey, do you see how we took this content viral? We could do the same thing for your brand. And they sell that as a service, which is why they have that massive television studio. Or
No way.
Yeah.
They're working with brands and creating actual content.
That's their whole business model. They don't even care about the ad revenue anymore. It isn't what drives their business. What drives their business is going to a brand and saying,
where the ad is,
we can do you. Yeah, we can do this for your content. So that's why they kind of break the rules here.
So is that that's how that's working? If you click on their bait, it pops open, another window or whatever. However, it's working on that one, and you have the 10 most beautiful people in the world. And it goes through, and each one, there's arrows that are,
You're talking about their website.
I'm not at their website. I'm at someplace else. This is something at the bottom of even a news site. You know, it'll have a BuzzFeed feed in there.
Oh, you're talking about the promoted content where they show up down at the bottom?
Yes.
No, Taboola or something. What they're really good at is content, not even that. See, that's still on the web. What BuzzFeed's best, biggest stuff right now, like, for example, one of their biggest hits from 2015 was a video that never even showed up on their website. It was only on Facebook.
I don't know if this is their website, is what I'm saying. I don't know if these things are their website or if this is residing on somebody else's or alone, because several of the arrows you can point on are arrows that take you to ads, whereas the arrow to the next picture of the beautiful person is
these are listicles. This is not BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed doesn't do that strategy precisely. A lot of other places do. That's not even. So I'm not saying that ad revenue doesn't exist for BuzzFeed, because it does. It's just not what their business model is built on.
Okay.
Their business model is becoming the agency of the future, if you will, for all of these brands, because they say, look, we know what it takes to take content viral.
Okay.
And we'll do it on Snapchat or Instagram or whatever platform, even if nobody ever comes to the website.
So let's bring this back to my original proposition.
Yeah.
So the idea being, go where the users are. So, and create content where those users are, and don't be afraid to let that content live there. So if I'm going to create something, let's think of a topic here, catsandbacon.com, I should consider as a strategy for growing the brand, creating content that lives on answers.com, for example. That is the number 10 website. And I think you can obviously go create content on there. So the idea being, if I created a post, if somebody was searching for cats and bacon, if I created an answer to how to feed your cats bacon, or I don't know, this is stupid, but it's a horrible example. But the point is, you create your content that you would create on your website. Perhaps you also create on your website, but then you also create it here on answers.com. You get eyes on your brand because number one, Google's going to rank answers better. I would imagine answers.com gets most of their traffic from Google, for example.
Right.
So you leverage these other brands or these other websites' effectiveness on Google or among other websites.
Or social or whatever, right? Because they're going to be the ones, they're going to go out and get the traffic some other way, whatever way.
And this is all assuming you're starting at zero. If you have a brand that is well-favored by Google, by all means, double the content you're creating. And you'll probably get results. But if you're starting from zero...
Didn't we have a discussion not that long ago, perhaps with a guest too, about not putting original content on a site that you don't control? In other words, not creating it on Facebook, not creating it just on Medium, not putting it somewhere else that you don't control.
In other words, rented space. Rented space.
Right. Because it sounds like this is suggesting the opposite of that.
We did suggest the opposite of that. Well, okay. I think we should pick this up, and I misspoke earlier. Danny is going to be with us in 2 weeks, not next week. So I misspoke about the dates, but...
All right, we got to do the whole podcast over now.
Yeah, really. I'm going to... I say we pose a question like this one to Danny.
Okay.
And see, because this guy is like between search engine land and marketing land, He's in this game like 100%.
Great. Let's do it.
Yeah. I think that would be an interesting question. And I have thoughts on this, which I think we should share later. So let's hear from you, our listener. What do you think? Look, I mean, it's fourth quarter. I mean, we're thinking about 2016 now. What is your strategy going to look like for next year? Are you thinking about content on other platforms, or are you still looking to Google or Facebook, or just the top three to get your traffic? What's your strategy looking like? We want to hear from you. You can tweet us at GTD Show. We had such great interaction this week. Big shout out to Noemi Kraus, who is our one listener in Switzerland that we know of. but Noemi just had a big win in terms of buy-in with her new employer on inbound marketing. So shout out to you for that. And boy, we heard from quite a few others this week. So
I love that. I would love to hear from people about what they're doing right now and if that strategy is going to change in 2016. Because things are always changing, but things are really changing right now. And even for us, for my company and on the political side of it, you know, there's a lot of different strategies being talked about for 2016.
Like the GIF. GIF.
That was
every
great.
Candidate. Every
I thought we were going to bring that up.
Every political candidate has to have a GIF strategy now. That's. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. And with that, you can find Rod on Twitter at Rod_Thompson. There's no P in Thompson. You can find him on the web at thompsonpr.com, which does have one P in it.
But not where you think.
But well, just in PR.
Sort of.
Right? Yeah. And you can find Josh on Twitter at Josh Muccio, M-U-C-C-I-O.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can find...
at the David Johnson.
I wasn't going to do that, but okay, yeah, you can find me on Twitter there, at the David Johnson, and we'll look forward to hearing what you think about this show and anything else that's on your mind this week. Again, tweet us as a group. You can find us, all three of us, at GTD Show, and we'll interact with you there. And look forward to hearing from you. See you guys next week.
Sounds good.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.